I hope you've been able to slow down this Thanksgiving weekend, take some time with your friends and family, and reset a little bit for the holiday season ahead. Giving Tuesday has become an important part of that season, as recent events in our nation inevitably mean that there are more Americans than ever in need of Interfaith Alliance representing them, defending their rights and standing up for their values. I'm so happy to welcome Rabbi Jack Moline, president of Interfaith Alliance, back to State of Belief Radio. Jack, happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for being here.
Welton, it's good to be among friends, particularly at this moment in history.
Jack, discuss, if you would, a couple of achievements from the past year that you think more people should know about in learning about the Interfaith Alliance.
We've had a terrific year, Welton, given that we're dealing with a relatively friendly administration. We talked a lot before the election about how we would up our game, because we really had a lot of friends in the administration. We were part of an extraordinary coalition that addressed the CVE, the Countering Violent Extremism policies of the Obama administration, to try to encourage the Justice Department to call that what it was, which was Muslim profiling, and to take a better approach to working with the American Muslim community. And I'm proud to say that we had a lot of influence. We participated in a number of roundtables. The DOJ changed a lot of its definitions and a lot of its approaches. We've had tremendous success in addressing the concerns of the LGBTQ community and the challenges that they faced in individual states as they came up against a plethora of so-called Religious Freedom Restoration Acts that mostly legitimated discrimination. But I will tell you, nothing gave me greater satisfaction over the past year than what happened just over a week ago in front of Masjid Muhammad, the nation's mosque, here in Washington, D.C., where faith leaders from across the spectrum gathered and stood in front of a gaggle of representatives from all of the media and proclaimed that we would stand with the Muslim community against any kind of expression of anti-Muslim bigotry that would be forthcoming from the White House or any kind of registry or profiling that would take place. My experience has been that we can disagree with all sorts of people on the details of this policy or that policy, but when push comes to shove, we all recognize we're in this together. We all have a constitution whose values we share, whose rights we share, whose approaches to a society governed by law we share. And the relationships that I've been able to build with people across faith lines and across the lines of people with no faith at all have just been extraordinary for the betterment of the citizenry of the United States. We just brought on board our newest board member, Kyle Jones, is an atheist chaplain in Arizona. This is the first time a publicly proclaimed atheist is sitting on the board of Interfaith Alliance. It's a relationship that's important for us to develop because Kyle has an extraordinary sensitivity to people of faith and a mission to help them understand that we still share a common morality, common values, even if he himself isn't a theist.
Let's move from that to talk about a couple of challenges, in particular things you'd like to be doing right now if you had more resources available to do the work.
Our new development director, Michelle Mallett, who's terrific, came in after the election and said, the ACLU raised $7 million in 2 days. And I was delighted for them. I am. The Anti-Defamation League has brought in hundreds of thousands, if not more than $1 million in donations. These are organizations that take legal action against those who would violate the rights of others in this country. We're not a legal organization. We're not going to file lawsuits. We may sign on to an amicus brief, but our goal is in bringing people together and helping them to make policy that's going to make for better life for individual Americans. We work on a very, very small budget here, and we have a very small staff. I would love to add people who can represent us in the field, going out to where we already have chapters in places like Tulsa and Oklahoma City, Denver, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Ocala, Florida, places that face challenges in their own localities, and to send people out to other places where Interfaith Alliance doesn't yet have a presence, but could, if some of the people listening to this broadcast would gather a group of people and ask us to send someone out to help them organize. That would be my dream, would be to restore Interfaith Alliance's presence to as many of the 50 states as we possibly can. I'm pleased to report we have a chapter in Hawaii, and I'm looking forward to going out to visiting them.
Jack, you've frequently invited listeners to express what their priorities are for Interfaith Alliance and what they would like to see you working on. If there's an example of supporters impacting the direction of the organization, that'd be valuable to hear as well.
So I've spoken on this program before about our mapping project for religious freedom, religious rights in each of the 50 states. We have opportunities for listeners to support that project, to help us complete the research, to put it in the hands of people in various faith communities who will be able to help us interpret that data, and to begin a series of conversations of salons across the country that are moderated by me, by other Interfaith Alliance representatives, and by people we'll bring in for that purpose. Supporting that project as it is very important. We now know that that mapping project in and of itself isn't going to be enough. We're going to have to maintain our watchdog status on religious freedom on a federal level as well, because of who's coming into the White House and what representations have been made. So being able to monitor that is something that listeners can help to support by their contributions. We also know that we're going to have to pay much greater attention to policy in the months and the years ahead. And our staff is pretty slim on that. If we had someone who could devote himself or herself entirely to tracking the legislation and the policy pronouncements that will be part of the new Congress and the new administration, we would have a much stronger voice than we already do, a much more prominent place at the table than we already have. And your listeners can help impact that.
Jack, I'm curious, as we look ahead to 2017, I know you're thinking about it. Where do you expect the most important challenges to come from? What will we need to be focusing on?
Well, now I was privileged to grow up in a very, very secure and nurturing community in Wilmette, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Most of my neighbors were just like me. Many of them belonged to the same synagogue that I belonged to. My high school was remarkable. I got an education that would be the envy of anybody in a private high school anywhere in the United States in a public school system. And I never worried where my next meal was coming from. I never worried if there was going to be a roof over my head. The issues that we face in this country right now make it possible that the children of the people listening to this broadcast will not be able to make those representations, particularly in communities that have become the new least favored minorities of the new administration. We have a special obligation in this country to stand up for the Muslim American community, a special obligation. As they wrestle with the authenticity of being a Muslim in America in the eyes of people in positions of great power and influence, we need to stand with them and assure them that they can be themselves. They don't have to change who they are, how they dress, how they worship, what they call themselves, just because they're being threatened from high places. Mm-hmm. That's our responsibility as non-Muslims in America. And likewise, we have to be very, very attentive to the needs of the LGBTQ community. We thought maybe we'd be fighting about bathrooms here and there after the election, but now it looks pretty clear that there is an intention to allow individual citizens of the United States to suspend the rights of people in front of them if they choose not to do business with them, if they choose not to welcome them into their houses of worship, if they choose not to sit next to them on a bus. So those are the top issues, protecting minorities in this country whose rights we had hoped had been secured already.
You know, we can't listen to what you've just said, down my spine go ripples of fear and anxiety. So we can't hear what you've just said and not come to what I'm about to say now. Our focus today is on Giving Tuesday, which is coming up on November 29th. So, Jack, please talk about how and why people who are hearing this right now need to get involved in the work of Interfaith Alliance.
So the first thing I want to do is make sure that your listeners go to the website of interfaithalliance.org and take a look at our two Giving Tuesday videos. We have a wonderful endorsement from country singer Shelley Wright, who has a close relationship with you, Welton. You helped her in her decision to come out of the closet and remain proudly a lesbian of faith, which I think is an extraordinary example to so many Americans. She talks about the impact that you and Interfaith Alliance have had on her life. And the other is a video of me standing in front of the White House, in fact, in front of a statue of Rochambeau, who was one of the French supporters of the American Revolution, talking about our need to protect minorities and immigrants in this country. And I think once people have seen either one of those videos, they're going to want to click on that donate button to support the work of Interfaith Alliance, because that's what we're all about. And if that doesn't do it for you, at the risk of being a little commercial here, I'm sure all of your listeners have already seen the wonderful commercial on which Interfaith Alliance was a consultant from Amazon Prime that shows an Anglican minister and an imam who enjoy a wonderful friendship and have a sort of gift of the magi moment with each other. That's the work we're doing. And that's why clicking on that donate button for Giving Tuesday is so important for everybody who visits the website.
Jack, I want to ask you a personal question. I know you well. I've known you for a long time. I know the kinds of things you enjoy doing. You've been a terrific rabbi in a local congregation. I want to ask you why you do what you do, why you've been involved in advocacy for true religious freedom for so many years and now are zeroing in on it in a way that you never have before. What makes you do that?
So here's the deal, Welton. Because you know me so well, you know how I am loath to introduce the Holocaust into discussions. I think it cheapens the currency when we bring it up all the time. But I can't talk about this issue without talking about my personal reaction to what I learned as a child and an adult about what happened to my people in Europe in the days leading up to and through World War II. I know how many more of my people, of the Jewish people, would be alive and thriving today if the neighbors around them had stood up to the forces of oppression and discrimination that started as words but wound up with guns and gas chambers. I'm not willing to allow us to approach that boundary in the United States. If I expect that others will do it for me, if God forbid anything like this ever happened, then I cannot tolerate for a moment that it would happen to any other group in this country. That's what motivates me. But I have to tell you, for positive reasons to do it. Because if all I'm doing is trying to eliminate hatred, if by some miracle I succeed, I've got nothing left to do. I just think there is so much to be gained by learning from each other, by experiencing the divine in this world through the eyes of one another, from understanding how people of faith and people of no faith find meaning in this life. I can't think of any place that gives me a better perch to fulfill myself than sitting in the chair I'm sitting in at Interfaith Alliance.
Rabbi Jack Moline is president of Interfaith Alliance. In addition to many vitally important initiatives, the Alliance is the sponsor of State of Belief Radio. Today or tomorrow or definitely on Giving Day, please be sure to visit interfaithalliance.org and make your generous donation. That's interfaithalliance.org. Jack, thank you so much for being with us again on State of Belief Radio and really helping us understand the urgency of supporting this organization so that it gets on in full strength with what needs to be done in this country. Thanks so much.
Welton, I'm only standing on your shoulders, and I hope it's not too much of a burden.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. So glad that you joined us this week. It's Thanksgiving weekend. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, I want to say a sincere thank you. We really rely on your support to be able to continue this important work. Now, if you've heard something this week that you found to be helpful, I urge you to share that with others who might also benefit from hearing. It's easy to do that on Facebook and Twitter. You can also direct them to stateofbelief.com, where they'll find full episodes, an in-depth archive, extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what he was. Mm-hmm. Oh,